Reverend Robert Cunningham is the senior pastor of Preaching and Vision at Tate's Creek Presbyterian Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and the host of the weekly podcast Every Square Inch, available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It's our privilege to have you with you, or have us with you this morning. How are you, Pastor Cunningham?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and jump right in. Let me preface my questions today by reminding our listeners that, of course, Easter Sunday is upon us, which is considered by most in the Christian faith as one of, if not the highest Christian holiday. With that said, in your Christian tradition, Pastor Cunningham, why all the hype?
Yeah, you know, the hype is very simple. If Easter is true, then Jesus and all that he said, all that he did is true. If Easter's not true, then Jesus is history's greatest hoax and conspiracy theory. It really is that simple. What makes Jesus of Nazareth unique is that, unlike other religious founders, he claimed to be not a prophet of God, but to be God incarnate, not to show us the way to salvation, but himself to be the way of salvation. And so death is a unique problem for Jesus. Prophets and teachers can die and their message lives on, their religion can live on, but if the entirety of your religion is bound up in a person who claim to be your God, then that person can't die, at least can't stay dead. He himself must live on. So it really does come down to the central question of whether Jesus rose from the dead. So, yeah, it's worthy of any and all hype you give it.
Now, typically, of course, Easter Sunday is one of the highest attended Sundays throughout the year. With that said, you were actually in one of the groups of Christians early on initially, and there were a lot in this category that said you would not cancel your morning worship services at your church during this crisis. But since then, you've changed your opinion. Could you kind of summarize your journey to our listeners here?
Yeah, that was quite an adventure for me. I recount the whole journey in one of my podcast episodes, and I actually wrote about it for KentuckySportsRadio.com, which I write for occasionally. But essentially, in the span of 24 hours, I went from being quoted in the New York Times as someone who would never cancel in-person worship services to doing just that and urging other pastors to do likewise. It wasn't because of the online hate I was receiving, which I was, but because I actually changed my mind. I novel concept in our time, but I changed my mind. And what happened is I consulted with a medical expert that I really trusted. I went to the writings of a guy named Martin Luther, who's a big historical figure in the Christian tradition, leader of the Reformation, and the Black Plague actually visited his hometown, and I went to his writings to see kind of how he addressed that issue. And then most profound was the example of Jesus himself, who chose to break with worship customs in order to heal, and all that together convinced me. But to sum it up, the highest Christian ethic is love of neighbor, and I had never imagined a scenario where gathering for worship would not be a loving act to our community. But such is the craziness of this unconventional time, to love our neighbor these days is to avoid our neighbor and each other. So now my ethical conviction is that Christians should actually be leading the way in these quarantining efforts that are being recommended.
Yeah, and I did, of course, listen to that podcast. And again, I feel like you very eloquently handled that, as you often do in your podcast. I got to give you credit there. But a moment ago, I mentioned that in your Christian tradition, of course, in reference to the Easter explanation, one objection to the truthfulness of Christianity as a whole is that Christians are terribly divided and sometimes in conflict with what they say the Bible says, or at least how it's interpreted. The claim is often made not only between different Protestant denominations, but also divisions like Catholicism, Mormonism, and Protestantism. Keeping that in mind, what is the actual reflection specifically on the claims of Jesus that you were mentioning earlier that you kind of see there?
Yeah, that's a good question. And honestly, something Christians need to really be able to answer in our day, because it is increasingly becoming an objection to the Christian faith. My answer, I could talk forever about it. My answer in the simplest form, is that we are divided on non-essentials, and we're comfortable with that, but united together in the essentials, the essential tenets. And the central, perhaps the central tenet, is, again, the resurrection of Jesus. We all agree upon that. And so, once again, it all comes down to Easter. If you believe in the resurrection of Jesus, then you are within the bounds of Christian orthodoxy. If not, then you've departed from the Christian faith and have reinvented it into something it was never intended to be. So there's a lot of room for disagreement and debate on non-essentials, but there are orthodox tenets, and Jesus risen from the dead is the central tenet. Easter is the central tenet where we all agree and within the Christian faith.
Now, a follow-up question to that, of course, we as Christians sometimes are accused of using Christianese to describe answers and things like that. Use the term orthodox or orthodoxy.
Yeah.
For the average person listening, what are you speaking about when you say orthodoxy?
Yeah. So there are central convictions that the Christian faith has held throughout the centuries. And that's what I'm talking about as orthodoxy. These are bound up in what's called the Apostles' Creed, which is something we recite often at our church. And these are just the non-negotiables of the Christian faith. That if you don't subscribe to these, then you've departed from what Christianity claims to be. And so you know, to be orthodox, quote unquote orthodox, means that you are someone who believes in these central tenets, these central convictions. But then outside those convictions, there's a lot of room to do scriptural interpretation and have those discussions.
Okay, that makes sense. So kind of the definition of Christianity would be the orthodoxy of Christianity then.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So to kind of throw you an additional curveball out of curiosity, another large objection raised by those outside the Christian faith, and basically those who are looking at the traditional treatment of women in the Bible, or the lack of female perspective. For instance, the 66 books that make up the Protestant Bible, there appear to be no female writers at all. How would you address that issue with folks really wondering where the female perspective is in the Scripture?
Yes, another enormous question in our day, especially with so much talk about gender. Here's what I would say. And Easter's a perfect time to discuss this. Jesus was actually, if you read the Gospels, which we call the first four books of the New Testament, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are the historical accounts of Jesus and his life, his ministry, if you read the Gospels, you will find Jesus to actually be revolutionary in his counter-cultural treatment of women. When you read the story, women are actually held up time and time again as the models of faith, as a model disciple. He's actually quite tough on his all-male disciples. They kind of come across as knuckleheads that don't know what they're doing. But every time he encounters a woman, it's this beautiful moment of faith. And then most significantly, it's the women who did not abandon Jesus upon his arrest and crucifixion. All of his disciples fled. They held true, and then most significantly, he entrusted the news of his resurrection to women, which is actually one of the central apologetics, that means defense of the truth of the resurrection, because if they were to make up this story, they never would have written it the way it was written, where women who were disregarded in that day, their testimony wasn't even valid in court. Jesus chose women to entrust the news of his resurrection and to be the first to go tell the world that he is risen from the dead. So if you actually explore the life of Jesus, and not just Jesus, when you get into the New Testament church, women are very prominent in a way that no other first century community had a category for. So it's actually a revolutionary document when it comes to the women issue.
Wow. Shifting out of gear, I could enjoy talking about theological questions with you all day, but we have a limited amount of time. Will you actually be speaking Sunday, Pastor?
Yes, to a camera, but yes.
Fair enough. I know my pastor at Grace Baptist in Winchester is having the same difficulty as he's trying to talk just to a camera with no congregation. Totally get that.
Yeah.
So if you were to encapsulate your message this Sunday, just briefly to those who are listening, what would be your message of Easter to them?
Yeah, I was actually up early writing it this morning. I'm not sure our world has ever needed Easter more than now in this moment. Easter, at its heart, is a protest of the way things are with the news of the way things ought to be. It's kind of this glorious first century circumstance that defies any and all current circumstances, which tend to be brutal. So I'm going to protest this pandemic with the implications of Jesus risen from the dead, and the really audacious conviction that that story is truer than the story of despair that we're experiencing, that the story of hope and joy in the end will triumph and undo all of these difficult circumstances.
Fantastic. Now, if folks want to hear that message and see you on the other side of the camera, how can they access the resources of Tate's Creek Presbyterian Church?
Our website, tcpca.org. At tcpca.org, we've just transitioned our website, so there's just one page, and it's right there on there, the COVID-19 update page, and that has all of our resources, all of our information, and then on the front page at 10 a.m., on Sunday morning, each morning, the service video will come up, and you can watch the whole service, including my message.
Awesome. Now, real quick, Every Square Inch, of course, airs here on WSKV Sundays at 11:30. But quickly, for those listeners that maybe aren't up at that time, maybe they're working different shifts, maybe they're attending different churches, but they still want to connect with you via that podcast. How do they get a hold of that podcast?
You can access the podcast from that same site, tcpca.org, or it's on Spotify and Apple iTunes under Every Square Inch. And it's just kind of my outlet to speak to the current issues of the day through the Christian worldview. It's just my space to kind of talk about whatever I see is going on and what the Christian worldview has to say to that.
Well, for me, it's a very welcome perspective in our world today. I am looking forward to the COVID crisis passing for lots of reasons, but I'm also looking forward to getting back to the topic that you were covering prior to the COVID crisis. So, again, we look forward to
We're getting back into it this week. This week, I'm releasing one that is just kind of, you want to know more about just a historical defense of the truth of the resurrection. I'm doing that this week, and then next week, I'm getting back into the series that I left open-ended what seems like an eternity ago. It was actually just a few weeks ago.
I know, it's crazy. All right, so to wrap up, I've got one last question for you. Of course, under our safe at home directive here in Kentucky, what are you, your wife, and four male sons doing to stay entertained and keeping that hopefully the crazy meter relatively low? What are you guys doing?
Well, right now I'm outside pacing in front of my house, because if I were inside, you couldn't hear a word I'm saying. such is the nature of our home right now. You know, honestly, we're having fun. I know it's fun to joke on social media about going insane and, you know, being cooped up with the kids and the craziness of it all. But we have actually discovered, and I think our world is discovering, how beautiful family is, how crazy busy we are, and how we don't make time for one another. And I wish I could say that this has been miserable, but we're loving it, and we're just having a blast together, coming up with creative ideas to be together as a family and trying to take advantage of the situation that we're in. And we're loving it.
Fantastic. Well, it's been a privilege to have you this morning. For those listeners just tuning in, this has been an interview with Reverend Robert Cunningham, the senior pastor of Preaching and Vision at Tate's Creek Presbyterian Church and the host of Every Square Inch, a weekly podcast. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Ethan.